Little shunk.
With the boo-doo-boo-doo-boo-doo.
No.
With a kasha-sha.
You're mumbling there. Yeah, that's a good
one. Write it down. Welcome once again to Chill Filter, the podcast where we drink whiskey so you don't have to. But you probably should. And you probably are. Hey, that's why we like you. Today is kind of a special day, or a special episode. We are drinking Penelope Rio, the Batch 3 2024 variety. Looking cool, half bottle by this point after buying it like 3 weeks ago.
I know. This has gotten farmed out to many people.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. And that's the beauty of a good whiskey community, is that sometimes people got to know what yours tastes like, and you got to know what theirs tastes like. But that sounds really weird.
I know. I'll taste yours if you taste mine. Yeah.
but I'm excited for that. Before we get into anything else, let's talk about some business. Business this week is very simple. Hit up our Discord. We have a Discord. We like it. And we like talking to our peeps on it. And they like talking to one another on it. So I am
Nick Taylor's on it.
Yeah, Nick friggin' Taylor's on it. And so he's a fun guy to have on there. But it's also like, actually, like I didn't expect to like it as much as I do, Discord. And I have had it before, but never really like took advantage of it until this. But it's actually fun, and it's not overwhelming yet.
Double business today. shout out to our newest Patreon subscriber.
I had that on my notes.
Dang it, I stepped on you.
No, you're fine. You're fine. No, shout out.
Shout out to Max, though. Whiskey with Max here.
Hey, hold
up the coaster for the YouTube audience. Hey, you got it too.
Yeah.
Nice. Shout out to Max. Thank you for joining. Max joined the $10 tier, so Max is eligible for drink along samples.
Yep.
Yep.
What a baller. Dude's a baller. All right. Now, let's get into the non-business. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. This is it feels weird to be back to normal.
It does
here,
feel you know? Weird to be back. Yeah.
Last episode, I was in Virginia, and last episode, we did a live-ish interview with David Bach, and we were at A. Smith Bowman, and immediately after that, we went and toured the Rick House, toured the distillery, got to see things, and like it all happened so fast. And like we recorded that episode and then we did all that. It's like, it's funny to think now that it's been like a week or so.
Yeah, just
like,
about a week. Yeah.
We didn't get the opportunity to talk about the tour and stuff on show because we did the tour like immediately afterwards. So it was amazing, man. We got just behind the scenes with the master distiller himself kind of
drinking
tour.
From some barrels, baby.
We did get dream to drink fulfilled. Straight from the barrel, and there were all these things. I felt so goofy, but I wasn't gonna not do it. Where like he was ready to go like hammer out a bung out of a barrel, and I was like, can I do that? And then he's like getting ready to dip in with the whiskey thief to pull some whiskey out, and I was like, can I do that?
As long as I got to sip from it, I was happy. They just announced that they're doing there's a rye aging now.
Yeah.
And isn't that the one we got to like sip a little bit of?
Yeah. In the huge tanks in the back.
Yeah. It wasn't even aged yet.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was new make. You're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I swear though. I mean, you know, your emotions are high. You're drinking straight from the barrel. You're with the master distiller himself, but goodness, like tastiest whiskey I've ever had in my entire life, and the oiliness and the viscosity was just like unparalleled. I've never felt such whiskey oils,
and it was like hazmat or close to hazmat what we were drinking on some of those. That was crazy. That was
fun to be able to drink some cask strength versions of things that only are normally released at 100 proof.
Good point. Yeah, drop it down from like 140 to 100. It's crazy. That's a lot of water if you think about it.
I know, right? Yeah. A lot more bottles you can make too, though.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, it was super fun. Big thank you to David Bach, to A. Smith Bowman. to Sazerac for helping us out with that. That was awesome. Dreams fulfilled. Like I told, we said it on the episode 2 weeks ago. We said basically, like, if I get to drink from like a like thief from a barrel, that's like gonna be like dream, you know, fulfilled. Yeah. And dude, we sipped a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that will be. I will remember that forever.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. My goodness, I remember looking at like Brian was filming a lot of things, and I remember like looking at Brian like. For those who are listening, I look with like pure excitement at Brian while he's filming and stuff like that. Yeah.
Mouth open, practicing the YouTuber thumbnail faces, like what?
We should have, next time we do something like that, we got to take more videos together and stuff like that.
I'm glad I thought of that. Quick, let's all take a selfie real quick. It was the thumbnail for the interview episode where it was the three of us in the middle of all the barrels. That was really cool.
So two things. David Bach is really nice guy and really, really easy to talk to guy. Also, am I wrong? He's a stud.
He's
a good looking man.
Definitely. He reminds me, there's a buddy I went to college with, Jeff. I guess why would I say his last name? He looks
Jimmy
like
Johns.
He looks so much like my buddy Jeff. It was like,
that's cool.
With the same kind of like 5 o'clock shadow kind of like black, it wasn't salt and pepper. It was mostly black, like facial hair coming in, short facial hair and everything. And like very like, glasses that are very like kind of like preppy smart like studious glasses, like good looking dude.
It's funny you say that because I have a friend from college who he reminds me of. I showed Heather the other day. I was like, doesn't this look like Andrew? And she's like, yeah, but Andrew's blonde, but Andrew's got dark facial hair and dark eyebrows. So he's got like a blonde hair with, he's like Kate Winslet, but
yeah, he looks exactly like Kate Winslet. It was just uncanny.
I've told him that before. It's like that blonde and dark eyebrows and dark facial hair, just like Kate Winslet.
Yep, perfect.
So no, it was. I'm just still like on cloud nine. I feel like that's another like John Hughes recently put out a story of saying like, when did you know you were a legit podcaster? And I was like, I think it was the, like I wrote on his page. I was like, I think it was the first time we got a Sazerac sample. But I'm like, but this is where I was like confirmed. Like, I'm a freaking podcaster, man. After 300 plus episodes.
Yeah. There was a tour going on and we like skirted around the tour.
Like, excuse us, guys.
To go to the back rooms
half
and stuff.
Drunk, basically. Don't mind us.
Right.
Yeah. It was good. So what are you entry buzzing on?
So, you know, we're drinking Rio today, and Rio is finished in honey and Ambarana barrels.
Oh, took my whole history. No, I'm kidding. You did.
If that was your whole history, yikes.
Yeah.
So I wanted to stay in the Ambarana family, and I wanted to stay in the bourbon family. And my only other bourbon Ambarana is I have is this RD1. This reviewed well. You know, people really liked this. It's a little lighter on the Ambarana. It's not so like ridiculous in your face.
Yeah, I think not like the rare character rye.
Yeah, right, which is very rough. In your face. I think this RD1 is just okay. It's one that I hope all my friends drink because I don't know when I'm going to get through it. It's just a super middle of the road for me.
Has it already won any awards? See what I did there?
Hey, yo, I have no idea. You know, to answer that joke as if it were a real question, I don't know if it's won any awards, but highly reviewed nonetheless as like, nice. If you're going to dip your toe into Ambarana, you should try the RD1 because it's not like insane, but
yeah. I think you should dip your toe into a Rio, man. That's an Ambarana. I mean, we won't get it. I won't spoil anything, but my first sip of this when we got it together in San Antonio.
And I might dip my toe in it later for real. I'll give you some toe tasting.
Hey, finger oils and toe oils.
Toe oils. Why does toe
dead
oils
guy
sound
stooty?
Toe oil sounds so much grosser than finger oils.
So you ever watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Oh, I've seen like probably half the episodes.
Yeah. So Frank, played by, what's his name? Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
He has his like toe knife. It just sounds so nasty. Oh, no, gross. It's just like he like carves his like toenails and does things, you know, with his toe knife. And it's like this like terrible looking knife. It's gross. It's as nasty as it sounds. I've been watching that show. I don't know what season I'm on, but it is getting better as it goes. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, this is actually like improving as a show.
That's cool.
Well into the seasons.
I should pick it back up.
Yeah, it's funny.
Did you watch Seinfeld? Did you watch
Seinfeld? Yeah, heck yeah. All of it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just the other day, there was an ad for maybe like there's a new season of It's Always Sunny coming out or something. Mm-hmm. But there was an ad where the It's Always Sunny people recreated.
Looks like.
They straight up recreated the Seinfeld scene. Remember the bet? What's it called? Is it just
the bet? Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Kramer and comes like, in and he's like, I'm out.
He's like, I'm out.
So they did all that, all the It's Sunny and like they recreated the set. They have their wardrobe on. She's D's got her hair done all up and
funny.
Everything.
And like Charlie's got the frizzy, up hair.
100%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they did that a while ago.
Oh, okay.
But I still haven't seen that episode yet. If it is an episode, who knows?
All I saw was like a 20-second ad. It was like a TikTok ad.
Huh. Yeah, I just remember there was like a picture from years ago of them all representing a Seinfeld character.
That's cool. Maybe it's from years ago. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll have to figure it out. But yeah, I would love to watch that. That's such a good show, Seinfeld.
Boom. But did you?
Boom. No, go ahead.
You took a test. Tell me about your test.
How much time we got, dude?
All the time. This is the important stuff.
This is the stuff people come back for right here.
This is the stuff our people come back for.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, everyone.
That's
else.
Right. That's a really good point because there's some new listeners like, why do they talk so long? Why is it so meandering and all that stuff? But
what was it? Meandering and something.
Meandering then. And off. Inaccurate and meandering.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
And Wednesday was my exam and it is drama. We'll get into it. Okay. Yikes. So I studied 300 hours for this exam and that's like probably low end. I had taken 3 practice exams in the past 2 weeks and about a week and a half, and I passed 2 really well, like really good scores, and like not just a close pass, it was like decent passes. And then in my third one I didn't pass, but it was close. But I learned from the things from that third exam and learned from every exam, you know, so that I could try to. And for the record, here's a good summary of an actuarial exam for you guys. The first exam that I did that I passed had 500 plus people take the exam. In that specific sitting, they call them. And what was it? About 70 to pass, you needed about 70% right. It is a 4-hour exam. You get about 25 questions with usually sub points to each one. There's some calculation. There's some just memorization of definitions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So about 70%, you need to get total points. 70%, you'll pass. So that's not that bad. Like if you think about, you know, your average like college course, if you got a 70, you might not even move forward in that class. But on the other hand, the pass percentage of people that got a passing score or not was like 35%. So these are hard. These are stupid hard.
Yeah.
And they get somewhat harder as you go on mostly. But I go in and I'm feeling pretty good. And I start sitting down and then I realize like pretty quick that this is a little harder than my average exam, at least at the beginning of it. And I was like, okay, well, you know, and so I took my time, maybe too long up front. And then I get like 45 minutes to the end, like I'm 3+ hours in and start realizing I need to actually like prioritize questions because I might not get to them all. And so I start skipping around. I start going to the high point questions because some questions have higher, you know, amounts for each one. So I start going to those and nail them. Like, I'm just like, oh, this is easy. Like sometimes the high point questions are more calculation questions. And so calculation questions have a lot of partial credit usually. If you, even if you get something wrong, they'll know you knew what you were doing because of the steps you took.
Right.
So anyways, I start jumping around and there's like a total exam screen where it'll say, hey, here's every question. Have you completed it or not?
And this is digital. Yeah. Yeah. Like on a computer.
Yeah. It's all on a computer. And so you could check back and say, hey, which ones haven't I touched yet? Which ones are higher points that I haven't touched yet? So I was like going through all those. And at a certain point, I saw that they were all completed. And I was like, wait a second. These aren't all. I didn't even read some questions. But now this, because that's the best way to get through it. And then the friggin' exam starts freezing. And it just starts like for a minute and a half, it just freezes. And luckily, I didn't lose time, but it was like it would throw you off. And it happened multiple times.
Wow.
And then by the end, I thought I had handled all the questions, but then I was going like next question, next question, next question. And there were some that I had never even touched at all, never even seen. And I had time to get to them. But since the exam itself told me that I had completed that question,
yeah,
I didn't go to it. So right. there were questions and it was so annoying. And I'm like, crap, I just got screwed by this poor exam software, basically. And could have very well passed. But if I didn't, it's probably likely that I lost those questions because it said it was complete and it didn't.
Yeah.
I get out of the exam 4 hours later, feeling sort of rough, like I might not have passed that exam, especially for that reason. And everyone else there is dealing with it worse than me.
Oh.
Some people had to, like, I remember the guy sitting next to me was like standing up at one point and he didn't take the exact same exam, but he was taking the same actuarial type exams. And dude, people were ticked off. Like they were. There were some people that didn't even finish their exam.
Yeah.
Like I'm talking about, they sat for 2 hours and the rest of the exam, like they weren't able to take. And across the country, this was the case. Apparently, like, I don't know if it was like a hack or something, but across the whole country, everyone taking these exams probably dealt with a few issues.
Yeah.
Of freezing, especially, and like the software like shutting down and stuff like that. And so they sent out the Casualty Actuarial Society sends out like an email that day. And they're like, we're going to try to figure this out. This was a widespread issue. And it didn't just deal with people that were taking the CAS exams. It dealt with everyone that was in the Pearson testing centers.
Yeah.
And so it became a big issue. And I'm like, I might have a chance to take this exam again and feel a little bit better about myself in that way.
Yeah.
And by Friday, they actually sent out a full thing saying, hey, we will offer retests if you so desire. So the good news is I have a chance to feel a lot better about my exam. The bad news is I studied today because I can't just stop studying. You have to continually study like every day. And so they haven't scheduled them yet, but I imagine it'll be 2 to 3 weeks, which means I get to study more for an exam that I felt pretty confident in already.
Yeah.
But I would rather study 2 or 3 more weeks than study another 6 months when I failed this exam. So
that's
where I'm at right now. Yeah.
Is there any chance that they let you know that even though the exam was messed up, you did actually pass?
Basically, say, I so wish. Because here's the thing is that they're kind of curved. The pass rate is based on how people did.
Okay.
Usually. But also, I don't think they're all like hand graded. Like you need to, like someone needs to look through it and say, hey, you got this many points. It's not like a multiple choice or simple answer. It's like partial credit all the way. You get points for even just doing the equations right throughout the whole process. So I wish I were like, if they were just like, hey, you already passed, you don't even need to take it again. Or you passed the first exam and failed the second exam, so we're going to go with your pass. Something like that would be awesome. But no, I think they don't want to have to hand score 2 exams for the same person. So,
So
if you accept to take the second exam,
exactly,
they will only score the second exam.
Yeah. So yeah, without even knowing how the first one did, they will trash it if you want to take the second.
If you want to retake. But then there's some people that apparently didn't deal with big enough issues to feel like, I mean, imagine there's a few people that didn't feel like it was. And yeah, every, like the, there are the CAS exams. There's like seven of them. And it was all this week. So like people that took it, especially on May 1st, like everyone was ticked off, like so ticked off. Cause it's like, yeah. I mean, you studied 6 months for this thing. You put in somewhere between 150 and 400 hours typically for these kind of exams. And I'm not, here's the thing. It's like, I was ticked off, but I was like, this is how it goes sometimes. But I was like really hoping something would happen.
Yeah.
But I, like some people, I get ticked off at myself. I don't always get ticked off at other people, but I was almost there. Like I was like, come on. Like,
right.
But it was almost refreshing that it was like, hey, if other people are dealing with it, that's cool. If it had been like my issue only and they didn't offer retakes because everyone else didn't deal with my issue, that would have been, that would have really ticked off by that. Yeah. So
yeah, imagine, imagine you are like, actually, I think I did well enough. I'm going to keep the first one. And then they're like,
and then failing.
It's like, I could have just done it again.
Yep. And that's kind of the annoying thing. I really do think they should grade both.
Yeah.
So but then again,
the question's got to be asked.
Yep.
Did you have any interesting altercations with other human beings in the weeks leading up to your test?
I thought about it. I don't think anything happened. But
dark thoughts are okay. You can think, think the thoughts.
Just
don't punch that guy in the face.
Heather and I had a verbal argument at one point and we resolved it. We definitely resolved it, but it, I realized that it was mostly because I was feeling stressed because of the exam.
Yeah.
Yeah. But otherwise, I tell people like, it's not so much that like, I just get confrontational. Like, I'm just like, I don't have time to deal with this. Let's just confront it right now.
Yeah.
And whether that be on the street or to my wife or something like that, it's just like, I don't have time to be worried or concerned about this. Let's just take care of it quick.
Yeah. So
I don't know you probably didn't deal with anything like that when you saw me.
No. I didn't think any thoughts about like, man, Cole's acting weird.
Cole's on the edge.
On the morning of, is there like a song you listen to in your car?
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what is it?
Yeah. It's a weird song. It's a really weird song, but I passed my first exam on this song.
Perfect.
So it's a weird song. So don't judge me for this song. But it's a Pussifer song.
Oh yeah.
You ever heard of the band? Yeah.
That's the Tool guy, right? James.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't even know. Maybe I think I was into it that week that I passed my first exam. So every exam since then, I got to play it before.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. Consistency.
And so it's The Mission, it's called. It's like, there's like
sounds
a,
familiar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, listen to it if you want. But that is nice. That's my pump up song beforehand.
Cool. And then I guess one last question, because I'm really curious. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
In the testing center, in the room, you're on a computer, tablet?
Yep. Computer.
Computer. Are you like in like a little cubicle with walls between you and other people?
Yep. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So when you said that the guy next to you was standing up, you could just like see him over the wall?
Yeah, kind of? I can turn a little bit and just see him standing up. And he wasn't so he couldn't like cheat off me or anything like that. But like he was a different exam. And I think they stagger it for that reason.
Gotcha.
There was a few dudes that were just waiting in the lobby until they fixed their issues.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it was rough.
Crazy.
But I imagine I'll see them all there in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Again.
Definitely.
Yeah. So but this is like I said, it's comforting that I don't have to study another 6 months for something that was someone else's issue. Because if I didn't deal with, I think I could have finished that exam just fine if I wasn't dealing with those issues. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, in the next couple of weeks too, there's a Virginia lottery deal. Yeah.
B-tech? Yes. Oh yeah. Okay. So I got like probably seven people I can enter for me.
Nice.
And actually in the next few days, they're going to announce the Old Forester birthday bourbon, E.H. Taylor rye, E.H. Taylor barrel proof, There was one other. I forget what it was, but
there were a lot of barrel proofs on your.
Yeah.
I think the quantity was very high on those.
Yes. There were like over 1,000. And then the other one was Rock Hill Farms.
Ah, nice.
But yeah, the upcoming one has 1,370 George T. Stags. So I
crazy
feel about that.
So many stags.
Mm-hmm.
High volume on those this year.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
Last year.
Here's to that. Here's to winning that.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Yep.
So, but yeah, I put in, I think, 6 or 7 entries for the that recent one. But then, yeah, coming up, I'll have that same thing.
Nice. Yeah, I put in 6 or 7 entries for Map Madness. Yeah. We got our video in there. Go thumbs up our Map Madness video,
yes,
please.
And subscribe to his Patreon so you can vote for us. Just boom. It's like $5. You know, you can stay on for years, or you can hop off when you're done voting for us. No, I'm kidding. No, that's awesome. Support him. Dude, he's got so many Patreon subscribers, though.
I know.
He'll like list them in like the tiers, and I'm like, it's a lot of people. And we're on there. We're actually, we support him.
Yep.
He supports us, if you didn't know that. And what a baller. Matt Porter, everyone. And I'm not just saying that because I want to be on Matt Madness. It's because he's been a supporter for years of our stuff, and he's been a listener since the beginning, basically. So what a baller.
That's
what do we say we get into a quick break? We'll read the history and we'll drink. Sound good?
Perfect. Yep.
Okay, we'll be right back. We're back. Quick note to get to. Oh, I already went to that. That's Max from Whiskey with Max. Thank you. What a baller. Now I can do it with this glass too.
I don't think I've ever. I always reach for an empty glass when I ding, but I dinged with this much liquid in this glass. And yeah. Oh, it's a little muted. Oh, that one's so pretty though.
It makes sense. It's dampened. You know about frequency.
Resonance.
Resonance and all that crap. This is our second episode on a Penelope bottle. Our first bottle was episode 263. We drank a barrel pick of their cask strength toasted bourbon. This one was a 111 proof. And we talked a good amount about Penelope as a company and even how they recently got their barrels bought back from MGP/Luxco. So today, and that was like for like 108 million. Can you believe that? That's crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
You're like, you start this project with like MGP barrels, and then MGP is like, we want them back and we'll pay you 108 million for all of them. Yeah.
Crazy.
And like whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
All I need is $1.5 million and I can live the rest of my life with like the interest of that.
I believe that you've done the math on that. Actually.
Oh, I've done the math. It's not even $1.5 million. I need like 1.2. That's it.
Nice.
So I thought we'd do a semi-deep dive into one of the things that makes what we're drinking today special. Amburana barrels. And so Amburana has strong history in spirits. It's been a part of a certain spirit for centuries. Do you know what that spirit is?
Oh, it's probably Brazilian.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I don't know the word for it. I don't know the name.
Cachaça.
Yeah.
Cachaça.
Yeah. Is that really how it's pronounced?
Mm-hmm. No, wow, it's a sh and then a sa. Cachaça.
Cachaça.
And I'm probably going to screw it up as we talk, but it is a Brazilian spirit. And apparently the third most consumed alcoholic spirit in the world. There were differing accounts for that, for the record.
Yeah. That's interesting.
But it's up there, and it actually beats out rum in terms of most dranketed spirit.
Dang.
And it is, and it's made from fresh sugarcane juice that can be aged or unaged. That sounds a lot like rum, you might say, doesn't it? Well, rum is made of the byproducts of sugarcane, such as molasses. And cachaça is the national spirit of Brazil. In fact, it must be produced in Brazil to be called cachaça. There is also a few other rules. According to regulations that first appeared in 2005, with slight edits in 2007 and 2008, it needs to be between 38% and 48% alcohol by volume. So you can't get like a cask strength cachaça. Sugar can be added to it, but only in certain tiers of what it is. There's like a aged, and then there's a premium, and then there's like an extra premium or something like that. But each one has like rules to it. At that point, you can add up to 6 grams per liter of sugar to the spirit. It can be aged, and if it is labeled as aged, it must be aged for at least 1 year and contain majority of the original spirit. But if it's premium, it has to be 100% of the original spirit, or nice. Of like the sugarcane distilled. And then if it's extra premium, it needs to be aged 3 years. Pretty loose laws on it, to be honest. But all that to say is that they often age the spirit in Brazilian oak called Amburana. Yes, they've been using that wood for quite a while, and is not necessarily to age... It is not necessary to age cachaça in Amburana. It is the local variety of oak, though, or one of the local varieties of oak in Brazil, though, and that part of South America, too. So at one point in probably the last like 3 to 5 years, people in the whiskey world started messing around with special oak varieties. And for the record, there's a lot of different types of oak trees out there. There are roughly 435 species of oak. Did you know that? That's a lot.
Wow, no.
But different oak can provide different flavors to the whiskey. And one of the crazy ones in terms of notes per, you know, what is the word?
What are you going to say? Notes per capita?
yeah, notes per capita. Speaking of notes per capita, I looked up some random stuff today.
So easy to derail you, man.
No. But it was all whiskey stuff. Japan per capita drinks five-ish times as much liquor as much alcohol as the U.S. does per capita.
Wow.
I had no idea there were such.
I wondered if you were going to get specific enough to say per capita in Japan they drink five times as much American whiskey as Americans.
You look at Japanese stuff, and sure, they got beer. You look at like Kirin, that's a beer brand, but they also like have, you know, Japanese whiskey and stuff, but that's about it as far as I know. And like, what's that, maybe they do sake or something like that, I don't know.
Rice wine.
But that's a lot of alcohol, and they are known to be one of the highest importers of alcoholic spirits and stuff like that as a country.
Wow. Yeah,
but that's a lot. Like, we were like 4.7 or something, I think, on the like per capita something, like gallons or whatever per. I don't know if it was gallons, but it was something. And Japan gallons was like week. 25, 26 or something.
Dang, like that. Wow.
Crazy.
That's crazy.
That was a fun digression. So Amburana is known for providing strong cinnamon notes to whatever it touches, and other notes like baking spices. What we're drinking today actually takes two finishes. One is Amburana, and the other is honey barrels. What is honey barrels, you ask? It's barrels that have aged honey, usually after aging bourbon. So it's like, you age bourbon, and then you get bourbon-aged honey. And then you get whiskey or bourbon finished in honey barrels by re-adding bourbon to that barrel. And so you can't add things to bourbon. That's like against the rules, against the laws. But you can take on like characteristics of the barrel. Yeah. So that's a way they can get around getting different flavors in the whiskey. But you don't call it that. But as I always say, it's not adding pizza to the whiskey. It's pizza infused wood that gives the whiskey the pizza flavor.
Sign me up. That'll be our first barrel pick for sure.
Oh, that'll be a Songle barrel, a pizza Songle barrel for sure.
Yeah.
And here's the details on what we're drinking today. Penelope Rio 2024. This is batch 3. Came out April 2024. According to their website, it is inspired by the joy of Brazil, hence the name Rio, like Rio de Janeiro. It is a double cask finished bourbon that is finished in Ambarana and honey barrels, like I said, MGP bourbon originally, and it's a 4-grain bourbon at that. 74% corn, 7% rye, 16% wheat, 3% malted barley. Hmm. 4 to 6 years age before finished, but no age statement. This is, yep, like I said, the third batch, and the proof is 98. What'd you pay, 100 for this? Or was it 90?
If it wasn't, it was right around there. 100 plus, yeah. Minus 10, maybe? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, that's the retail-ish. It's 90 to 100 issue. So,
fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This was, did we tell the story on a previous episode where, we were like, I had originally said, mm-hmm. I didn't expect this to get distributed to Arizona.
Yeah, that was nice. I don't think we told this story. Yeah.
We were in Texas and I was like, oh yeah, if there's one thing I can find, I think the most interesting thing would be Rio, because yep. I'd seen people in Texas. I saw spec stores getting in and everything. Mm-hmm. So while we were there for the eclipse, we went out to a couple specs. We went to one and I was chatting up the guy there and he was like, oh yeah, there's another store a little bit down the road that's a little bigger. So if they've seen it, that'd be the one nearby. Mm-hmm. So we head on down the road to the other store. And while we're there, I'm like, I'm poking around a little bit and I see a guy walking down the aisle with a Rio in his hand. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, where'd you get that Rio? And he was like, oh, so you could immediately tell it's like, okay, this guy knows somebody, you know?
Yeah.
So he was like, I think it was the last one. And like, right as that conversation happened, this worker came walking by and was like, hey, can I help you out with anything? And I was like, curious if you had any more of those Rios. And he was like, I got one more in the back.
Yeah.
So he went to the back and got it.
He was like, you don't look like the type of person that's going to like resell it. So
yeah. And they were like, it was you, me and Mike there. And it's not like all three of us were like, do you have any more? Can I have one too? Like, we were like very nice and casual about it. And he did explicitly say, you know, yeah, I didn't want to just put these out because anybody is just going to grab them and see them. He wanted to like be holding them for people to specifically ask for them. And then he would go get them out of the back. That's so cool. Yeah.
I just poured that out for my homie right here. This homie.
Oh, I'm on the A. Smith Bowman Glencairn today.
Nice. Nose.
Oof. I popped the cork already, and it was the weakest cork pop ever. I'm really glad I didn't even try to hold it up to the mic here.
Blunk. The Amaranth is there, but it's really good, actually. Like, it's like this really nice note. Little bit of dull cinnamon, little bit of that sweet honey, though. The honey shows up and really balances well with the Ambarana.
Totally smells syrupy honey. Big syrupy honey. Really good word.
I think almost like cough syrupy in them.
Yeah.
In a way. Not a bad way.
Yeah, I love the balance between the honey and the Ambarana. It's a little more on the honey side. So, like, I would say like 60-40 honey Ambarana. Mm-hmm. So the Ambarana is almost like a back note to the the sweet honey. Yeah. Which is nice because it's too easy to over Ambarana things.
Absolutely. We've done a honey finish before.
I've never had a honey finish in my life before, actually.
We did Bell Mead had a honey finish, and that was a John Hughes joint, if I remember correctly. And he sent that one in.
About that one.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was dessert, you know, it was pure dessert. This is surprisingly great. And I don't love Ambarana. And should we tell them the story about, did we mention what David Bach was saying about the Ambarana cask?
Oh no.
He's like, what do you guys think of Ambarana? I'm like, I don't like it. And he's like, am I right? And we're like, and then Brian's like, like, not that Brian's like a fanatic about Ambarana finish.
No.
But you enjoy it more than I do. And we all were like,
I enjoy it as a dessert. Like, and typically I think what I've said in the past is if I'm going Ambarana, I want to go all out, just ridiculous in your face. like around Christmas time, but like, I'm not going to want to just want on brownie time. So when he asked the question, I was standing behind you and I was like, I was like, how do I like be nice about this? But at the same time, but you were just immediately like, nah, like yeah, I'm out on it. And then, and he was like, yeah, I hate it. It sucks.
Yeah.
And he was like, he had an Ambarana barrel there. That was just kind of like something just for fun, random.
Yeah. And he's like, it didn't turn out at all.
He was like, even if you wanted to try this, I'm not going to give you any because it's going to destroy your palate for the rest of the day.
That, and he had a hot sauce barrel that they're aging something in. Yeah.
I forgot about that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That was also, he was like, no way. He's not giving you this.
That's not going to be worth it. Yeah. Oh,
but
man.
I did get down
there from those barrels. Go ahead.
I did get down there and put my nose like against the Ambarana barrel. Like Ambarana, smelling that wood was real nice. That's getting clipped out for sure.
I'll let Brian do it. I mean, I'll let Robbie do it. I on the palate, this is what I would want out of an Ambarana finish. Like, there is something to enjoy about Ambarana, but it's to be very subtle, in my opinion. The honey balances it out so well. Like, it's very sweet. Like, this is on the sweeter end of like the very far spectrum of bourbon to begin with.
Yeah.
And that's because of the honey, you can tell. But I thought this was interesting. Like interesting in a way. I don't know who thought of this, Ambarana and honey, but they thought a good thought. Like, I think this redeems my opinion of Ambarana.
Yeah. The flavors mesh together really well. I like that the honey is featured. Same as the nose on the palate. It's more honey than Ambarana. The Ambarana is a afterthought, kind of like how if you eat a snickerdoodle cookie, there's way more sugar than like cinnamon, you know, but the cinnamon's there and it's a nice little like backbone, I guess. It's not whatever. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. There's a little youthiness to this kind of that there's I get on the back end. The finish has a little bitterness that I just wonder. So there's already too much going on here, but if this was like double oaked or something also, so it was like it had an extra richness to kind of even like fake a little more age to it, I think that could round off the youthy bitterness that I get towards the back end. But overall, this is incredibly sweet. This is a whiskey that you give somebody that doesn't know anything about whiskey to be like, this is how like delicious and tasty sweet a whiskey can be, to maybe get somebody interested in whiskey.
So I thought about it when you said that, and it's like, I agree to an extent. I wouldn't want to start someone on this though, because no bourbons are like this. But I would get someone who just was like, I think I like bourbon. That's the guy I would get on this and be like, hey, if you like bourbon, try this end of the spectrum.
Yeah, you want to see how crazy we can get?
Yeah, exactly. I just added water. The honey shows up a little bit more on the nose. There's an interesting synthetic-ness to Ambarana.
Yeah.
But it's not bad. But the honey shows up more here on the nose.
Did like 3 drops of water. Although, I don't know, maybe a little less water than normal, because I was afraid, you know, the proof's only 98, which by the way, with the bitter youth on the back end, I could easily see if the proof was higher on this, it would just be, it would venture into uncomfortable territory. Like it would be like,
I think it's well proof.
If you added heat to this, it would be like,
I think the water pours even better, to be honest, on the palate.
Wow.
Yeah. The honey shows up a little more, but the Ambarana is still there. But it's sweeter and in a weird, lighter way, but it's more enjoyable to me.
It tastes more like, well, I was going to say it tastes more like normal whiskey, but that was just on the landing. All that honey really still came in. It's, I do feel like there's a little bit more complexity though with, it's a little less syrupy with water. I guess that kind of makes sense, but it's equal or better to me than the meat pour.
Mm-hmm. No, I like it.
Not much differences in notes though. Really didn't take it anywhere else.
Different balance.
Yeah. Almost, yeah, more of a mouthfeel change, and that's it with the water.
Oh, don't lose the ice. All right, we got a nice chunk of ice. Chunk of burning ice.
Remember the fire in the holes?
Oh, yeah.
I remember the fire in the holes. I think that's what I...
Adam original.
Wait, what?
No, that was probably Robbie.
Yeah, I think because Robbie was the only one who had the ice cubes he'd have to bite in half or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's all adding up. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think fire in the hole was...
Chunks going everywhere.
Yep. And, like, you'd get like a sound.
Yeah, exactly.
On the audio wow. only. The I think on the Chili's, one of my write-ins for like, what's your favorite meme of the show? I think I put fire in the hole.
That's good. We also, I missed the bus driver.
Oh, yeah.
Drop that cue. Speaking of bus drivers, vote for us on Matt Madness.
Hey, another little shout out to Mike King, whose house we stayed at in Texas. He loved the Rio when we opened it up there and checked it out there.
That's right.
And I ended up finding one here in Phoenix.
Nice. Another
so
one.
They did show up in Phoenix, and I was able to snag him one. So Mike's getting a Rio.
I have been keeping my eyes on it in Virginia. I haven't found anything.
Ice nose, dry cinnamon. The sweetness of the honey dropped out, and it's more just baking spice for me.
Yeah, it's a little synthetic to me, more so on the ice.
Yeah, it's really just bitter on the palate.
It's There's not like little... overly bitter to me, but it's much bitter, much more bitter and like much drier than the other two with some ice.
There's a little fruity thing going on here too that I can't put my finger on. But the ice took the rich sweetness away. So no dice on ice for me.
No dice on the ice. Yeah, I like the sweetness. That's my favorite part. So I'm with you. I think... It's pretty close between neat and water for me, but I think I might go water a little bit. Although I do very much appreciate the mouthfeel of the syrupy neat pour.
Yeah. I think the neat and water is so close to me that I was letting you influence me a little bit. So I'm just going to say equal. equal neat and water. This is going to be tricky too, because like this whiskey is such a novelty as we rate this. Like,
yeah,
I got the letter scores up and definitions of the letter scores here, and it's going to be hard to pick because, like, am I rating this because it's fun or am I rating this because I think it's good? And after we rate, I'll give you a little more information about this. But
okay, I'm going to go A through whatever the letter score. I'm going to give it a B. I do think this is well above average. Like, I enjoy this. I enjoy it quite a bit. But there's something about it that's like, it's not super hubba to what for me. But I'm going to go to 8.6. I think it's good. I think you should actually grab a bottle of this.
Oh, yeah.
If you see it, because it's very special. And like I said, this redeemed my idea of Ambarana finishes. Yeah. And now I got to try a cachaça to see what that's like, an aged cachaça.
Yeah. I wonder how expensive those are.
Oh, I'm sure they're cheap, super cheap, especially on the lower end. But I bet we could look one up right now. Yeah, but anyway, that's my grade because I like it. I think it's great. It's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. I'll rate while you look up cachaça, but so like working my way up here, like, is there something about this that makes me think this is not so great? No, not at all. Like this stands out. Is it going to get lost amongst my other whiskeys in my cabinet? No, this is like clearly going to stand out in that way too. So I think I end up laying in like B minus, where it has more pros than cons and it has memorable features. It's like, it's very close to that, like clearly stands out territory, but like it's clearly standing out because it is like a novelty. So I'm going to stick with B minus. And the thing that I was holding back earlier was Breaking Bourbon actually just like 4 or 5 days ago, put out their release of this. And they actually rated it pretty high. Pretty high for breaking bourbon.
Yeah, pretty good. Like a 4.5, 3.5 or something out of 4.
Four out of 5.
4 out of 5. Which is pretty good for them.
Like, yeah, which means they think it's super solid. Anyway, I was impressed that they were so impressed.
Yeah. I'm looking at some cachaças right now.
Yeah, nice.
I'm seeing one that was, I don't know what wood it was aged in, but it is a extra premium and it's $150.
Wow.
And it's only 86 proof.
Was there a deal with cachaça where to call it cachaça? It has to be aged in Ambarana?
No necessity there. Whatever wood this one specifically around. I do see now is aged in American oak.
Ah.
So there's one other I see. And it's $135 on eBay. You could sell that on eBay.
No way.
Oh, it's not even. It's not even.
Maybe Brazilian eBay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's so weird. Yeah, I'm looking for like aged ones. Canadian oak. Wow.
Huh.
What's this? Oh, gold cachaça. Cachaça.
Gold, like in the tequila sense, where it's like 1 to 2 year or like 1 year aged.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe, I mean, it's like apparently like the one of the highest sold liquors in the world.
Crazy.
Extra premium Brazil. Better try it, man. I want Ambarana. Oops, do you hear that?
Yeah, somebody's making money.
Making the monies. Okay, found one. It's like $56 for a Ambarana aged cachaça.
Nice. How long aged?
Doesn't give it, but at least 1 year, unless it's extra premium. But that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's out of a. Okay, so that's enough. We got that. So now that we've rated our Ambarana and honey cask finished Rio, let's move it on to our next segment of the show that we like to call Whiskey World News.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Whiskey World News segment where we read an article that we did not write.
We didn't
write going to read it. I distilled it down a little bit so I didn't have to read the whole thing, which is nice for time's sake. But today's article comes from, Forbes? Yeah, pretty sure it was Forbes.
Nice.
Good old Chris. Perugini? Chris Perugini. So Chris says, time is up. Time is officially up for fake Japanese whiskey. What
time
now?
To go home, what fake now? Japanese whiskey.
So apparently, as of April 1st, many brands from Japanese distilleries can no longer be labeled as Japanese whiskey.
Speaking of Japan drinking a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I know, right? When you were saying that earlier, I was like, Thanks to almost non-existent guidelines, there was no formal definition governing Japanese whiskey until the 2020s. With no oversight in place, many products from Japan were not at all what they claimed to be. The hallmarks of fake Japanese whiskey fall into two main categories: sourcing from other countries and distillate made from rice.
Nice.
In the case of sourcing, many products that were previously labeled as Japanese whiskey actually contain whiskey distilled in another country, usually Scotland or Canada. Nika Whiskey Distilling Company purchased the Ben Nevis Distillery in 1989. Shout out to Taylor Swift. After sourcing whiskey from their years prior to the acquisition. It has been long rumored that Ben Nevis whiskey is a part of Nika's popular whiskey from the barrel blend, which blended whiskey expression, right? And while nothing has been confirmed, the company removed the phrase Japanese whiskey from the label in 2021. Another popular loophole was labeling shochu as whiskey. Shochu is a Japanese distilled spirit usually made from rice, but can legally be made from 50 other approved base ingredients like sweet potatoes, buckwheat, and brown sugar.
Oh, wow.
Shochu is also fermented using koji, a mold cultivated on rice or other ingredients. Yeah. Technically speaking, rice is considered a cereal grain, but it has rarely been used in the production of whiskey, and the flavor set is a vast departure from what most consumers expect from a grain-based whiskey. So if you see a bottle from a Japanese brand you don't recognize and the product is labeled as a single grain whiskey, there's a good chance that spirit came from rice.
Or sweet potatoes.
Probably not. No. I know, right? Sweet potato whiskey. Yeah. I might buy that just because I'm curious what that would taste like.
100%. Yeah,
100%. Sounds interesting. But yeah. I heard some people talking about who was it? Was it some... what's the one that started? Oh, Hibiki.
Yeah.
Somebody blended, was saying some Hibiki was like getting discontinued or something, and I wondered if
Mike said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea?
Didn't get discontinued.
Yeah. Right.
No. Nah. Yeah. And Hibiki is a Suntory product, so you got to take it serious.
Well, I wondered if it was like, I wondered if maybe that rumor or whatever came from somebody saying like, they are changing the label completely, so you can't get one with this label anymore or something like that.
Knowing Suntory, they take their stuff super seriously. So I would not imagine that Suntory has made anything besides legitimate Japanese whiskey.
Wow. Big confidence for Suntory. Big confidence.
Well, here's the thing is that homeboy, what is his name? Takatsuru, but I forget what his first name was, but he studied in Scotland. He learned about distilling in Scotland and took it very seriously and would not. I believe he would not have tainted the idea of single malt or just at least single grain whiskey at the very least.
Yes, but would he have sourced from Scotland?
Apparently he brought in peat from Scotland for a little bit.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But not much. Yeah.
Nice.
But that's a good question. No, he wouldn't have. He wanted to make it a standard Japanese spirit.
What? Nice.
Nakataka. No, that sounds so bad.
Office Space.
Takatsuru. What's that? Yeah. Go ahead.
Office Space. You remember Office Space?
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Naga, not gonna work here anymore. So bad.
That movie's great. What was his name? Masataka. I was really close. Masataka Takatsuru. He married a Scottish woman, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not that means anything, but
maybe there was some legal reason why he needed to get some scotch out of the country, but he had to marry a Scottish woman. And
I believe
there's a great article in here somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good. But I think I am actually super happy for Japan for making those laws, because I remember that there were like guidelines and even expectations of Japanese whiskey, but but there was no laws. So I'm glad to hear there are laws now on Japanese whiskey. So.
Yeah. Pretty cool. And just makes stuff that's actually labeled Japanese whiskey that much more special.
Exactly. Get yourself a Japanese whiskey right here. right to the sides of the Weller.
Yeah, right.
18 year, 12 year. Okay, cool.
Putting the Weller between the two Japanese whiskeys.
I don't know why I did that. I did that like today because I put all the... you can't really see it, but I put all the Found Norris I have up here.
Ooh.
And they were next to the Japanese whiskeys. And then I had two almost empty bottles of Weller next to these. And so I was like, well, I'll just take the full bottle I have of Weller and put it next to the... But I should have put the two Japanese and then the Weller.
So I'm looking for a Helldiver up there. Is there a Helldiver up there?
Right there.
Nice. I think I think I'll get mine next week. Yeah.
Nice.
Takes too long to get out here to Phoenix.
So I like your, what whiskey would you choose this week?
Yeah, I like it too. But first, we will talk about actually 2 weeks ago, because we didn't do one while we were at A. Smith Bowman. But
old results.
So 2 weeks ago, we asked you, who scored the better bottle? I had just gotten Found North Batch 8. Cole had just picked up his Abraham Bowman French Oak. And somehow I paid off the audience just enough to eke by, and 53% sided with
Found North Batch 8. Wow, that's a close one.
and 47% cider with Abraham Bowman French Oak. I wish I knew, you know, the reason. I wonder, are people just very high on Found North right now? Or are people sleeping on the French Oak? I don't know, but they need to listen to French that last Oak. Episode.
What was it? Rob Report gave it like the best whiskey thus far this year.
The French Oak?
French Oak, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, so in addition to that, in addition to our own scores, we asked you, dear listener, what was the last bottle that you bought? And so we got some write-ins on Instagram here from Broaska Testwasa. Says he got some E.H. Taylor, Blanton's Gold.
Good for you. Time, but was turtle friend.
Was also just gifted Caribou Crossing.
Nice.
What a great bottle to receive as a gift.
As a Canadian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Dramhound. Oh, yeah. Dramhound. Double write in here. First one first. Evernorth Spirits Omen Night Stalker Batch 1. Oh, yeah, the first batch from the Bourbon Junkies.
That's pretty crazy. They're blended batch. That's the Bourbon Junkie picks, yeah.
And then he wrote in again and said he lied, which is terrible. Don't lie. Lying's bad.
Don't lie.
He got the Eagle Rare pick. Oh, yeah, the Eagle Rare pick.
That was originally from the Bourbon Junkies. Yeah.
The distributor was able to recover a few cases. That's great. So he got one and the other guys got one. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Embellished Pod, John Hughes wrote in. He says, Booker's 2024-01, the new Booker's, which, by the way, I've even seen.
I've heard good things.
I think I've seen the next one even coming out, too.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Total side note here, too, by the way. While I was researching the Whiskey World News, I was like, oh, I haven't done like a what's coming up this month in a while. Let me see what the releases are for May. It was like nothing.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there were some things in there, but there was Elijah Craig.
Yeah, Elijah Craig always has a five, usually. Yeah.
That was really the only notable one.
Wow. What about is there a
Larceny?
Bernheim?
Oh, well, so I did not see.
They didn't Bernheim do one last Larceny year. On they only did two releases last year. So.
Yeah. Yep. So May, expect to not buy much in May, which is good. Good for the wallets.
All good.
Whiskey with Max, good old newest Patreon subscriber. And he says, Hazelburn 13, Oloroso Cask Matured. Gonna one up Max here. While I was in Virginia, I found the Hazelburn 15 Oloroso
Maryland. Cask. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. I did not find it in Virginia.
You couldn't find that in Virginia.
Yeah. I found it at a ridiculous, store that had a museum corner, and it was just insane. They had a Peregrine, first time I've seen a Peregrine on a shelf, because you know it's not distributed to Arizona or anything, but of course he wanted like $400 for it and all sorts of ridiculous stuff for the other one. So it was like, okay,
get there.
All right, Madtown marketer Ben Klepsig says JD Songle barrel proof.
JD Songle barrel. Always nice. Good snag, Ben.
Yep. Paul Clarkson says Elmer T. Lee. Nice.
Nice. Good snag. Great to find
in the wild. Yeah. He really did find it in the wild for 45 or whatever it was.
That's retail, baby.
Yep. Kilton 518 Miles Ferguson says John J. Bowman single barrel selected by Brian Pruitt.
Yeah.
That's cool. And lastly here, Drinking with Panda. So all the way over in Pandaville, he says Still Austin. Bottled and Bond Rye Spring 2024 release. So some Still That's Austin. Cool. Yep.
Nice. I've never had Still Austin yet. Got to try it.
Still Austin. I think Brian Duncan has given me some, and he has a cast strength rye that one of these days we'll finally get around to trying. Yeah.
That's cool. Nice.
Yep.
Well, what do we got this week, Brian? We got more? Yes.
Thank you. No, that's it. This week, we are asking you, if you are so fortunate to, you know, be at a certain distillery and hanging out with the master distiller, what whiskey do you wish you could thieve straight from the barrel? So now, take extra consideration into this, because...
Mm-hmm. I think I know what you're going to say.
Think of... items that are only offered at lower proofs.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Which would be
like, you don't want to get a stag because you know what that tastes like. It's like an Eagle Rare, a 10-year cast strength bourbon is probably going to be better in my opinion than like a stag, because stag's not 10 years.
Yep. Yeah. And you even said you had something you wanted to say about this. So I totally stepped on your toes there too.
No, you're good. You're good. Yeah, you want to get something that you would normally not be able to tell is cast strength. So
What you got?
Yeah, it'd be Eagle Rare 10 for me. The Eagle Rare single barrel, or not single barrel, but they're, yeah, I think that would be cool. A 10 year, it would probably be something between a Stag and a George T. Stag, to be honest. So,
yeah.
Eagle Rare for me, baby.
Nice, nice. And I am, so I wrote down to remind myself, Elijah Craig 18.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Why stop at 18?
Let's 23, go baby.
Elijah Craig 23.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. Which,
there was an Elijah Craig 23 at the bar that we went to.
There was.
Yeah.
And how about that Jefferson's 21, baby?
Oh my gosh.
That was good. Yeah.
Cole and I got to try some Jefferson's 21
like
year.
Jefferson's Prez from like 2015, probably.
Insane. Yeah.
It was good. They still had it on the shelf because it was like 100 plus per bottle.
Yeah.
Or per
very
pour.
Candy. I think 180 for the pour, if I remember correctly. Surprised. No. Yeah. Very candy though. Very rye candy.
Yeah. Ooh. I don't think we've told our listeners. This is random. This is nice. Semi off topic.
Save the secrets till the end. Nice.
Yeah. Save the secrets till the end. We got pours from the Last Drop Distillers, or not distillers, like the Last Drop Whiskey Company, which is a Sazerac company. It's basically an independent bottler for multiple spirits. Yeah, that's right. The Last Drop bottles that cost at least $2,000 or $3,000 per bottle. So Sazerac helps us out with some, I forget what the exact, there is a Akintoshan that's a friggin' 40 year Akintoshan. I forget what the second one is. I forget the it's a Speyside distillery, but I don't think it's in production anymore. 55 years old. So we're going to do an episode with their founders, the Last Drop, like people. But like, we have in our possession a 55-year-old sample of scotch.
Crazy.
55. That's like as old as Miles Ferguson.
What? Calling him out.
No, he's probably like 40.
Remember the live drink along that we did where everyone got recently? To call in? No. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
The one in between hosts where like a bunch of people. And so I got to be on a video call with Miles Ferguson. And
he's
man,
great.
That dude doesn't look a day over 40.
No, he doesn't. And the turtlenecks really help.
But he was not wearing a turtleneck.
No, he wasn't. No.
Yeah. 100% of the times that I've seen Miles Ferguson, he has not been in a turtleneck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I got to start planning before we get into what we're drinking next time. I got to start planning for your absence, your paternity leave.
Ooh, that's
so
true.
So John Hughes, we're going to do our first episode together. I don't know if he's available. We'll make him available. We'll force him. And then I was thinking, I don't know. We'll keep an eye on it. Do you think that Josh from your drinking buddy would be down?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, we can hit him up.
Reach out. Mm-hmm. And we'll drink something nice with him.
Nice, nice.
Maybe Ben Klepsig. We'll find out.
Yeah.
But yeah. I remember what happened last time when Gray was born. It was like, it went like a week or two. And I was like, I need to get back into this. Like, I just want to rejoin. So it's too much fun to record.
Yeah.
So.
As long as baby screaming can be isolated, which the layout of our house is like a giant horseshoe.
Nice.
And I'm at one end of the horseshoe.
That's nice.
And and granted, you know, babies don't, you don't.
Babies don't cry.
Yeah, not my baby.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't, you know, they don't stay in their room. They don't sleep in the nursery room. You know, we got the bassinet by the master bedroom and everything. Mm-hmm. But you know, if, you know, Sam's hanging out with baby on the other end of the house horseshoe, then the screams should be isolated. So I might, you know, I might need some whiskey. So we'll see. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea what to expect.
You're going to love being a father. It's the best. Like
I'm not ready as I can be.
Oh, that's the best. Is like, it's just going to be a shock to the system.
Yeah.
Dude, I love my daughters. They are amazing.
I got to hang out with Beck while I was in Virginia. Beck's pretty
before we recorded, she was in the room. And she said hi to Brian when she wasn't saying hi as much last time.
It looked like she legitimately recognized me.
Yeah. She's amazing. I love that baby. Love that baby. She's so smart. All right. Next week, so we're going to put it up on Two Pick Tuesday. We're between Old Overholt,
Yeah.
10-year cask strength. That's a Beam product, rye department. 10-year cask strength. Or we're also going to be between that and Traveler's Whiskey from Buffalo Trace.
Dust it off. We tried to get this on the show, but y'all voted it off. We'll see.
I have a feeling it might lose again, but either way. And we'll see. we got some upcoming samples from Garrison Brothers. We have Valmaria for 2024. We have Barrel Bourbon Mirzanara cast finish. And then we have the you remember the Perfect Fifth? They sent in their Cannongate American whiskey.
I am actually very excited for that.
Yeah. It's a 14-year Bardstown. Larger Bardstown distillery juice that was aged in Scotland.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, three years in the U.S., and then they threw it on a boat and shipped it over to Scotland for the other 11 years.
And cask strength, too. It's a 128.8, so that's so a high proof.
That'll be fun. I will obviously be entry buzzing on Elijah Craig Barrel Proof that day.
Super light color, though, for a... Yeah. 14-year Americans, American whiskey. It isn't really. I mean, I put it past them. But anyway, that's that. I hope you guys enjoyed. I hope you guys feel loved by us and others. Steve.
I hope that you don't mind continuing to study for your exam. I'm sorry that happened.
I hope that I pass.
Yeah. I hope that we feel loved by our listeners by going and thumbs upping our Matt Madness. That'd be
nice. No, 100%. I would really hope we're on Matt Madness this year. No, absolutely. No fakeness. We want to compete. We want to do well. And
I hope I don't do something to bring shame to my family. But
I don't even care. You've been killing it on these re-entry buzzes. So
as long as my guesses are decent, I don't care if I lose. I just don't want to, maybe say something that is 120 proof is 95 proof.
Yeah.
Spoiler for an upcoming re-entry buzz.
I was so happy about that one. All right. Well, that's that. We love you guys. I hope our love of whiskey lifted your spirits.
Sweet.